Yeah.
Like, someone's like, I don't want to see Taker and Cena. I'm like,
that's why I was like,
last
I saw
big
that.
Box office match. And he's like, and then he liked it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I just told him to get out. I said, get out.
Get out.
You just get out.
I was like, did you watch Cena's match, you fucking idiot? He had a great, what are you talking about? That wouldn't be a good match.
Yeah.
Like, this shit just pisses me off. It was the same way with, like, somebody was bitching about, like, I went through the, on the Reddit, though, I went through the trouble of picking out all of these last WrestleManias and blah, 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 and, like, it's the same fucking guys every time. It's Cena, Orton, blah, 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 and I was like, I fucking hate when people rip shit up. So I went on there, I was like, yo, man, like, you know, I get what you're saying, and I would have really loved to have seen Sami Zayn or Rusev win, but I was like, look at it from WWE's perspective. When you're paying, you know, you want to make top dollar WrestleMania, you're going to put your faith in guys that have been there before and you think are going to make you the most money. And somebody's like, oh, fuck. And I was like, just look at New Japan's model. I mean, they have Tanahashi and fucking Okada and all these other guys working in the main event every year because they're fucking good and they can make the money. They'll put on the big matches. Yeah. And I was like, and then some dude like did a numbered post. It's like, number one, dude, New Japan, like it was some New Japan fanboy because, you know, fucking wrestling hipsters that are like, New Japan's fucking, you know, Dave Meltzer sucking his cock Tokyo Dome bullshit. And he went on this fucking rant about how New Japan's way different and about how WWE needs to start using WrestleMania as a building platform. And it's like, motherfucker, every other pay-per-view aside from WrestleMania is a building platform. WrestleMania is where your most established stars shine. That's how it's always been.
Dude, it's called the Showcase of the Immortals.
Exactly. Yeah. People are getting pissed off like, oh, fucking part-timers bullshit. It's like if a part-timer like Goldberg or Brock Lesnar or Undertaker or Triple H are going to work on any show throughout the calendar year, you're going to fucking tell me it's not going to be WrestleMania where they're going to sell the most fucking tickets? Because if you're going to tell me that, get the fuck out because it makes no sense.
I'm glad I hit record.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, you know, this is the best part
of
the show.
Well, am I wrong, though?
No, not at all. Cause, like,
say what you really think, though.
Why? Okay, so why would you book Lesnar versus Goldberg at, like, you know, fucking Roadblock?
Why would you?
Why?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why the fuck would you? Because you're already preparing for, when you think about how WWE's doing it, it's probably like a budget plan. So they're like, okay, well, this is how much we're going to make at this fucking pay-per-view. This is how much we're going to make here for buys. And I know it's not buys now, but now they probably consider network buys because they get the buy that month or whatever. This is the most views this is going to get in the network, meaning it's this is more important than this and whatever the fuck. But yeah, you look at WrestleMania, they have this huge fucking card they need to fill out. WrestleMania is the biggest extravaganza every year. It has the most eyes on it. So why wouldn't you push these fucking megastars like a fucking Goldberg, like a Brock Lesnar, who at one point sold out buildings by themselves as a feature match or a feature opponents or wrestlers on this mega card that is WrestleMania? You know? It just seems like a waste to me to do anything else.
Yeah.
But, like, what does piss me off is this fucking horse shit about Goldberg beating Owens for the belt. And the only reason that it pisses me off, Jesse, is because it's so, like, you don't even have to know the ins and outs of wrestling to be like, oh, fucking Goldberg's going to win the belt because storyline bullshit.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. It's like, if you're Lesnar, what's the easiest way to stick it to Goldberg?
Dude, and do exactly what fucking Goldberg did to him and Eddie Guerrero at No Way Out fucking 10 years ago. That would be fucking perfect story, right?
Yeah.
Comes back, gets Goldberg, and that sets up their Mania match because then Goldberg's like, you're next at WrestleMania again. I'll beat you again. And Brock Lesnar's like, bring it on, bitch. And then Kevin Owens can keep the belt because, like, honestly, does Goldberg Lesnar need the belt?
No, it doesn't. Because no matter what happens with that is either you get yourself a part-time guy as champion, which when Lesnar was the part-time champion, it was primo.
It was great.
But with the brand split now, you need to have that champion on Raw.
Yeah.
So keeping the belt on Owens is very good.
Yeah.
The question becomes, though, with when you start scrambling now, with like Seth Rollins' injury, you know, I almost called him Seth Owens for some apparent reason, but with his injury, it brings up a really good question is, do you need a Triple H match?
I don't know, maybe we should start talking about this on the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just continue this and then just clip it.
Well, I already just interrupted, so we might as well start it.
Okay, cool.
And welcome.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen, Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Alrighty, so that was a little snippet of what we were talking about before we officially kind of started recording. AC Riley insists that we use that in this week's episode of Grapple Talk, so I guess we're going to keep it.
Well, I don't know why you're looking at it as like a negative thing, because if you listen to any other podcast, you know, some of the best content is that when the host is getting really fired up about something and, you know, gets the, you know, adds their two cents to it, and you're like, you know what, this guy's making a lot of points, and obviously he means it, and he's passionate about it because he's yelling really loud.
It's out of the norm that we do. Usually we come in here and we just chit-chat mm-hmm. about fantasy football or AC Riley's new haircut,
yeah.
And then we do the 3-2-1 and start Grapple Talk then, so it's a little weird.
But this week,
because I was just speaking off the cuff, you know, I didn't even...
Well, you're speaking off the cuff, and then we were listening to you rant for a few more minutes than just fantasy football talk, so...
And
that's the thing. If it would have been talking about fantasy football, sure, that this isn't fantasy football talk, this is Grapple Talk. But considering we're talking about, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, we're talking about you getting downvoted on Reddit because of your...
Were we recording that whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, like, talking about all that in relation to wrestling, it's like, why wouldn't we use a wrestling-related conversation that actually makes sense?
I don't know. Because I don't even remember what I said. I don't know what happened.
It was pretty good.
I blacked out what happened.
Yeah, it was one of those things, just like in old school.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is Grapple Talk. I think... Coming up, we're going to be using an interview that you had a couple weeks ago?
It was Black Friday, so a couple months ago.
Okay.
What, like 2 years ago?
Not 2 years ago.
I don't know. Some of these interviews we kind of just sit on, you know? Like,
well, the last one we sat on was from Black Friday, which was only a couple months ago. But that's,
you know, in a couple months,
only.
You'd be like, but hey, man, I got this interview with Eddie Guerrero right before he died. We're going to air. And it's going to be like,
man,
yo, let me tell you something. I'm going to die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
If we were sitting on that one, that'd be something.
So what is the interview that we're going to be hearing here later today?
Well, we'll be talking to Jason J. Not Jason J. J. Kilkay. There's two J's that I see quite a bit now in Milwaukee. J. Kilkay of Mondo Lucha. I talked to him during Mondo Lucha. It was, you know, in the middle of the cold that I caught from you and Zari at the house. But nonetheless, still.
Well, why don't you blame your immune system and what you eat?
I'll blame them because they were sick first, and then I got sick.
Are you washing your hands constantly?
I do wash my hands.
That is a lie.
Bullshit.
I'm
not one of those people that goes in the bathroom and then just walks out. I wash my hands.
Hey, listen,
I come up to the bathroom.
95% of the people who actually work in this office building are either accountants, lawyers, or like really big headwigs. You know how many of those people actually wash their hands?
Huh.
Probably 1%.
1%.
That's gross.
1%, yeah.
It's really gross.
They made it somewhere in life.
Because a lot of those people have to shake their hands.
Dirty money.
Literally. Dirty money, man.
I mean, if you're a lawyer, you have to shake your client's
hand. So you got this interview. What's going on with
it? Interview. We talked about Mondo Lucha. We talked about the last show. We talked about the upcoming show. Talked about Jay and Derek St. Holmes' podcast that now is, in
Cigars and Conversations.
Cigars and Conversations, which is now in production. And
it's a good one.
Basically,
it's
Derek St. Holmes just, you know, shooting the shit, and then they just happen to be recording. It's
nice.
It's a good time. You know, it's funny because he talked to Derek about this, like, at BCW, and he's like, I don't really understand the podcast thing. It's just Jay does all that stuff, and then he just puts the microphone in front of me and asks me a question.
That's good.
But it's like he doesn't need to understand it because ultimately it's like he just gets to talk, and people are, you know, there's an audience because people like to listen to St. Holmes, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, crack a wise.
So we got that coming up later on in our Grapple Talk podcast. Also, upcoming shows this weekend, facebook.com/thegrappletalk for those. Otherwise, you can hit up our Twitter at the Grapple Talk. I know that we're going to be some places. Jesse's going to be some places as well.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll see us on the road. Otherwise, if you're looking for something to do this weekend, always go out, support independent wrestling, and hey, have some fun. Guys, this past weekend, I believe both of you were out on the road. Care to tell us a little bit about your fun experiences before we get to our the meat of the show?
I don't know. You want to go first?
Yeah. I had to kind of remember where it was for a second, but
you're here.
Oh, I'm here, but I was trying to remember where I was.
You had like a seizure
weekend.
Or something? What's going
no,
on?
No, it's just been a long week. But
Thursday.
It is Thursday, but it's been a long.
Can't be that long.
It's been a long 4 days. But anyways, so this weekend had a double shot. I was in WPW in the Shack at Fond du Lac, and then the next day I was at MIAW, the South Milwaukee Rumble in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a good time. First time wrestling in the Shack. I've been there before, obviously, when Jake the Snake Roberts was there in attendance. A little bit smaller crowd compared to when Jake the Snake was there, but I mean, still about 75. That's not bad for a show with, you know, a little bit of advertising, you know, the flyering around there and everything. But, you know, good show overall. Got to wrestle Garrison Creed, which was fun. It was kind of different. I got to be babyface, which was really weird.
Come on, Fond du Lac!
Come on, woo!
Kind of, but...
But you did lose it the best way you can lose a match as a babyface, right?
Yeah, I lost the, I lost the way that I normally lose. It was
schoolboy.
Schoolboy, really? No, I did a little bit of throwback to rookie AC Riley, but it was funny because I was babyface, which I haven't been in a long time, and Garrison Creed just came back from Canada, and apparently he was like... the most over baby face in that 10-day Canadian tour.
Yeah, people in Canada love G.I. Joe.
Cool. Yeah, I guess so. And then he had to be heel. So it's just like it was different for both of us. But, you know, it was a fun time. Good card overall. Great matches. Next day was the South Milwaukee Rumble. We got to see Shigehiro Irie. Yeah, I just kind of learned recently how to actually pronounce his name properly, but still working on that. But you know, super nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't really know a ton of English, obviously, because that's his second language. But I mean, he's so nice. He put on a great match with Rough Crossing.
Oh, cool.
MIW had a huge turnout. Pre-show, they had 300 chairs set up. And they had to go grab more from downstairs just because.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I talked to Jack Spade about it, and apparently the Rumble show is always the biggest one. Mm-hmm. So it had a good amount of people there. Another great lineup for matches, everything. Got to see some different stuff that I was expecting. On top of that, too, it was really interesting to listen to Armani go over training with his rookies when I came there before the show, because it's just kind of fun to just – sit in and listen and just kind of, you know, rehash like the stuff that you're supposed to know and, you know, hear it from another trainer and then be like, that makes a lot of sense. That that explains why you do this. And Armani's very adamant about everything making sense in wrestling. So I would say overall, pretty solid weekend. Didn't get back until like 5 because I had to keep stopping the road because I was about to pass out. But
fun.
Didn't die on the road. But Jesse, you were at AWF. How was that?
Oh, yeah, it was a good time. The Elk River show is always a very big show for them. Basically, it's where they started.
Yeah.
You know, Danucci actually lives in Elk River. He knows this community, and they always put on a really good show there. You know, it was very light when it came to like matches on the card. I think it was about 5. So it was a really quick show, which is always really good because then you're back on the road before 10.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, man, I'm going to get home before 2.
Yep.
Woo! You know, it's good stuff. Yeah, it's good times. Good to see a lot of those guys. Eric Cannon and Josh Price put on a really good match. It was good to see Jacob Savage. Keeps on growing and growing. They had a really nice lucha brawl between... I don't even know if they have a tag team name. It's just the Luchas. That's what they call them, the Luchas. Taking on, you know, I can't remember the tag team name because it's always kind of weird because they were switching around the names. It was like Patient X and one of his buddies, but they kind of look like Slipknot. So you got Slipknot against Luchadors.
Nice.
Just beating each other all over the place. So it was a pretty good time. Easy show, fun crowd. Can't complain about it. So it was good to get back over to Minnesota. I haven't been over there in a few months. So it was good catching up with those guys. They're doing good stuff. It's kind of interesting, too, because like, I talked to some of the guys backstage, and it's sometimes you hear the same stuff. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know what? There's so many wrestlers in this state, but there's only a few good workers. You know, and then it's like, hey, man, have you thought about looking at this guy? It's like, I've never heard of him. Let's take a look at him. It's like, all right, maybe we'll bring him in. You know, he's a big guy. Looks good. You know, so I don't know. It'd be interesting because like, they have a very small pool of talent they use on a lot of shows, so it might be kind of cool to see them bring in different guys because like, they have a very good platform where they have shows almost every weekend, plus they have television.
Right.
And if you're young and want to learn, that's one of the best ways to do it, is to get out there each and every weekend, get on TV, figure out what you're doing, get coached on your promos, and go from there. So it was...
So
very cool.
Out of curiosity, then, who are some of the people that you suggested to Danucci? Who would you kind of turn him on to?
Like, one of the big things is he wants guys who look good on TV.
Right.
So the first name I threw out was like, have you guys thought about Sadist?
Yeah.
Because you need a big monster heel. And this guy's your biggest monster heel you can probably get. So don't know, I'll probably see Steve on Friday and be like, hey, man, you should hit up these guys. He's like, oh, that's okay, brother. I don't need any more shooting.
He's like, I'm going to work in 80 hours a week. You should, I don't know if you mentioned that to him, but Logan Lynch would be another good person.
Yeah, you know, I thought for a second there you're going to say, hey, I don't know if you mentioned it, but maybe A.C. Riley.
No, that was actually the last person on my list.
Yeah, like Lynch would be a good guy for there. Adam Grace would be another good guy.
Speaking of those two, they actually had a really good match at the Shack. And it was interesting because, as you guys know, Adam Grace is now the WPW Heavyweight Champion. He's supposed to face Bronson Bay, and for whatever reason, Bronson Bay didn't show up. I know that he kind of has a history of, people booking him at WPW, and then he just never actually makes it. So I guess it's just another example of that.
You just throw this guy underneath the bus?
Well, it's just
straight
fact. It's just fact. It's not intentional, but that's just what it is. And
are you working us right now?
I'm not working.
You setting up like an angle with Bronson Bay?
I'm not working.
Are we going to see a promos in a manner of, this message will repeat in 3 seconds.
Bronson Bay. How many times
do you get booked for someone and you don't show up?
How many times I get booked? Not very many.
Not
so
often,
when I do,
but you know
I
how often
go.
I show up? All the time, no matter what.
In fact, I over-show up. I go places that they bar me from. That's how
true.
Much I care.
They barred me from Chuck E. Cheese for reasons I won't disclose in this promo.
But I still go there. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because you guys are
pizza?
Making it sound like going to shows is a bad thing, which is actually kind of like what you should be doing.
So. Wow. He always gets so mad.
So salty.
How pissed did he just get?
So salty.
Wow.
So salty.
Are you going to delete that from the podcast, or are you going to keep that on
I'm
here?
I'm going to keep it on there.
I wish everybody could see his face, because you are angry about it.
It's
lighten up.
I'm gonna
lighten up a little bit, bud.
Lighten up. You're like half asleep.
Yeah, I'm
tired.
I'm really tired.
Are you sleepy?
I got about 5 hours of sleep because when I was supposed to go to bed, I got yelled at because my dad got a call from my student loan provider, and They were basically threatening to garnish his wages, and then he had to call me, and he was a house of fire. And
wait, you're not paying back your student loans?
I am. It's just that somehow my payment didn't actually go through because for whatever reason, when I set up the payment, I gave my route number and my checking account number, and it didn't work out. So they typed it in and it said it didn't work, and then somehow a routing number for the bank in Milwaukee worked. So I assumed, okay, there's no way that there's a checking account number that I have that's in Milwaukee, so maybe that will work. And then turns out it didn't, but then...
So how long has this been going on?
This has just been a month, so...
Yeah, I think I have a... What's the routing number? I just got you. Look at that. See, if I was a terrorist trying to get his identity, you almost gave it
Speaking
to me.
Speaking of that, my dad
what,
actually...
What, terrorists?
Maybe.
Yeah. No, no, no. no. Speaking
going?
Of scams, my dad actually just got that recent voicemail where they do the computer voice and say that this is the IRS and you have these criminal charges for this account that you're trying to hide and you need to call us immediately. So, that was pretty
That's
interesting.
That's funny.
Well, like the one, hey, can you hear me now?
Right.
Are you there? Can you hear me now? Actually, my boss got that one twice in a row.
Really?
Yeah.
How do they steal stuff?
Well,
like if you're on the phone for a certain period of time,
it's not
can...
that. What it is, it's like they lure you into the conversation with the robot recording, and then at some point they say something like, "Hey, I can help you out, but I need this credit card thing or whatever." So that's usually how that kind of goes. So they kind of lure you in.
Anytime anybody calls you and asks for card information or bank information, just don't give it to them until you hang up the phone and personally contact a number of the bank or card company or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
You know what would actually solve
that? Flashback of consumer news for you?
I'm just saying. It's just like it's like somebody, it's scary.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the police, and we want your card number now because we're outside, dude. Like, we're like 2 blocks away, so if you look outside, you won't see us, but we're almost there.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, you just said police. Like, what city? What city, police? I ain't going to tell you because we're the police.
I don't know. Yeah. What is it? How do you say this? Is it Lacrosse?
La Croix?
How do you say this?
Ha.
Oh, shit. I forgot to press mute. Click.
Click. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's.
But no, have you actually thought about it? Because, student loans, if you're not.
They suck.
They do suck, number one. But number two, though, sometimes having billing go just like straight through when it comes to automated systems or whatever. You get a phone call coming in, probably from a scam.
Somebody from Milwaukee. That's weird.
Maybe it is a scam. It's unlisted. But anyhow, have you thought about just like, I don't know, just getting it sent to you and then you just mail it back out? Because like the price of a stamp is actually pretty cheap. Still.
Right. Well, the reason I like to do it either over the phone or now I'm doing it online just because I just like to just take care of it electronically just as just one and done.
Because you're terrible at mailing stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I just tried it online today, and that seemed to work. And it was really weird because my checking account number is only six numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called my bank, they said it's just this number. There's no extra numbers because that's something that they had asked me about.
Mm-hmm.
And then just randomly when I tried online because I put in the actual information and it said it didn't work. Out of just random, you know, memory, I saw my online account that it said, you know, #, and then it showed my last four.
Mm-hmm.
And so the #sign was like three different numbers. Like, okay, that's seven numbers. So I was like, is it zero? And it's like, congratulations, your payment went through. It's like, okay, that would have been nice to know like a month ago when I was trying to make these payments. But
well, you also probably should have realized when you were looking at your online statement that your payments weren't going through.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of it too is, I mean, hindsight, I probably should have also added them to my contact, but like I'll see them like call my unlisted and they don't leave a voicemail. So,
mm-hmm.
And I've actually had a couple people call and then I look up the number and it says scam. So it's just like, all right, let it go to voicemail.
I
shit you not. One of them that I actually reverse looked up, mm-hmm. on the internet, it said that the caller was trying to sell chocolate dildos with Donald Trump heads.
Oh, wow.
I kid you not.
So you ordered three of them.
I did not order any of them. But
four of them, but.
No, I didn't order any of them. But I will say this much, that when I saw that online of, like, what, you know, what people had answered the phone and found out what this guy was trying to sell,
mm-hmm.
it was the funniest thing ever. Just because it's like, man, like, what's the market for that?
Apparently it's pretty good. People are buying it.
Apparently it's pretty good. Who knows? But,
yeah.
But yeah, so that's a little bit of financial talk here on Grapple Talk. Talking about student loans, so.
Well, you know, student loans are a very important thing that you have to pay off, especially if you decide to go to a four-year school.
Or if you're like me and you go to school for 8 years.
Yeah, and you don't get a doctorate, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the unfortunate
thing. So,
I just got scammed.
You just got scammed?
Just kidding.
No?
It was Milwaukee Bucks. They wanted to know about my game experience and how they could convince me to come again. And that's the problem with, like, those phone calls when I know, mm-hmm. that they're legit. Like, I know. On the other end of the line, they're just like, oh,
they're just trying to do their job.
Yeah, and you know, it's, mm-hmm. like, and people that pick up the phone and, you know, yeah. get that, and they're like, screw off, I don't want, and, you know, hang up on them, like, you know, they probably get that all the time, and it's like, sometimes, you know, I don't want to say you want to humor them, but it's like, you know, I'm like,
you
want to
be nice.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is really interesting.
Be a normal person.
Yeah.
You know, they
and then
like,
I'll bitch about it after I get off the phone.
Yeah, like you just did that right now. And they're probably listening to this podcast.
I hope not.
Like,
hey,
oh,
I talked to that
guy.
You know,
Terry, if you're listening to this in Milwaukee, I apologize. You did a great job. Keep doing what you're doing. You're going places.
So basically, you just want to know, hey, how can we get you?
They've done that
Milwaukee?
Multiple times, yeah, because
yeah.
they have your information from when you bought tickets off their website,
yeah, yeah.
and they'll give you a call and be like, hey, this is whatever with Milwaukee Bucks. You know, just want to know what your favorite experience of the game was. And then you're like, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a big Bucks fan. I was like watching Bucks.
Yeah,
oh,
man,
you know,
that's sad for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, want to let you know that we have, like, five home games left. And, you know, if you go to the Bucks website and you get them from there, then you want fees, blah, 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 blah. So basically they're just pubbing the fact that, hey, if you want to go to Bucks game, you only have a few weeks left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they probably – I'm assuming the experience thing is like a survey thing. So they understand – you know, they're probably writing stuff down and understanding, like,
yeah.
okay, how do we improve this experience for next year?
I can tell you this much. I bet you would go to more Bucks games if they were 2 hours away instead.
Yeah,
of
you're. I told her that. She's like, well, out of curiosity, how come you haven't gone to one in a while? I was like, because it's like a four-hour drive.
Yeah.
She's like, makes sense. I was like, okay,
wow.
fair enough. She
wow.
agrees. The Bucks person agrees. And then she's like, can I get your credit card information? I gave it to her. So then, yeah.
Wow.
So and then she hung up right after that.
You
were
definitely getting scammed then.
Yeah. Am I really? Really?
Maybe,
guys?
Yeah.
Can I,
what are you guys talking about over here anyway?
Can I get your credit card information and also your mother's maiden name? It's like, I got to go.
Yeah.
Social Security, yeah, no problem.
No problem.
555-5555.
All right, cool. Well, we should probably get in some wrestling talk.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
You guys have been talking about wrestling at all when I was
okay,
over?
Okay, so the big two news items, depending if, you know, from WWE this week, is Seth Rollins re-injuring his knee.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's going to be out 4 to 6 months is the latest report. So
really? I thought I saw 8 weeks.
8 weeks? I saw 4 to 6 months. That's what I saw.
Maybe it was 8 weeks originally because I thought it maybe wasn't as bad. And then they realize it actually is worse.
Guys, we have our smartphones here. Let's
look
it up.
Yeah, this is because that'd be breaking news to me. Because I looked up
while you guys are looking. Do you guys see the clip of Joe putting him in the headlock and asking if he was okay?
I did see that. Yeah,
and Seth Rollins said, "I hope so." So it's
kind of sad.
It's really sad.
Did anybody notice how he injured his leg?
When he went for the clutch, they were pulling down.
Weird.
He just bent weird on his knee. That's all it was. It was just.
And of course, that's almost the same way he tore it in the first place when his leg buckled and that power bomb.
Right now, okay. So this is off Yahoo's website. At this point, the diagnosis is believed to be a torn MCL. Meltzer says the early word is that an injury will keep Rollins out of action up to 8 weeks. That timetable is accurate. That would put Rollins' return right at the week before WrestleMania, which there is still a chance.
Yeah, 19 hours ago I saw that.
Yeah.
So, guys, so technically, I mean, it's not doomsday yet for Seth Rollins and his knee. I mean,
nope.
There's a possibility that he could come back for WrestleMania, and, you know, WrestleMania is still on track. But regardless, this, man, they had such a storyline writ up where it was going to be Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe at Fastlane, which would have been a hell of a match,
oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, but I saw this earlier, and here's the thing I like about this, and hear me out. The silver lining of Seth Rollins' knee injury, guys, is you're both staring at your phones instead of actively engaging in this conversation.
Oh, I'm actually engaging in
this
conversation.
The nice thing about it is that when I looked at Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe at Fastlane, I saw that as a lose-lose, personally.
Yeah, because you're
neither guy.
You're burning a Joe match.
Exactly. Yeah. And you want neither guy to take a loss in that scenario.
So, could you instead save the Triple H match now and do Joe versus Rollins at WrestleMania?
I think that's a good idea because Triple H isn't on his last legs. He could probably wrestle at the next WrestleMania.
Well,
but you don't want to build
on who
it out
ask.
Here.
I mean, he's definitely tore those quads.
He's tore those
quite
a few times. But I mean, I'm saying you could use Joe then and Seth Rollins at Mania and book H and Rollins at SummerSlam or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the next match in Extreme Rules. I mean, we talked about it in that stupid rant where you want to try to book those part timers for the bigger shows. But, you know, I mean, that WrestleMania card right now, if you look at the expected card, it is almost overbooked at this point. I think I just saw a report that Meltzer says Dean Ambrose has nothing to do. And last year, I mean, due to injuries, Dean Ambrose was the hottest babyface in the roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think it would necessarily be awful for Triple H to take this WrestleMania off, although we do know how much Triple H likes overusing the WrestleMania theatrics in his entrance. So I'm not sure if he would necessarily want to take that off because I think that might be his. You know, you watch WWE 24 lately, and that's one of his favorite parts of it.
I mean, he could, in theory, take off, but is he going to? Probably not, because, you know, him and WrestleMania usually go pretty hand-in-hand, so it's just like, hey, I could take off if I really want to, but, nah. I want to use this over theatric to plug us in this movie again.
Yeah, but, I mean, if your match is in jeopardy, as it is right now, like, do you even try to, like, I don't know, hot shoe another angle? What, do you have him and Sami Zayn?
I don't know, man. That's really tough. I think that's all, you know, then they're kind of playing with fire a little bit because then they're just, they're relying on Seth Rollins' knee to hold up and be good to go at WrestleMania.
If it's like 8 weeks, all right? 8 weeks, right? Just to get cleared. And then it's a week before.
Right.
And it's not like he can go. He can't do ring conditioning after surgery and stuff. He has to stay off it. And then, physical therapy to get back in the groove of things. Mm-hmm. And how far out are we, Mania? About eight weeks, probably.
63 days as of Sunday, so we're probably like 59 days now.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's coming up pretty damn soon.
Yeah.
And to think, you know, that WWE, I don't know. It would just be awful if Rollins literally just missed the WrestleMania cut. But can you really, you know, this is when you book all your WrestleMania storylines. So can you really book a Rollins H match unknowing if Rollins is even going to be there?
The only thing you can really do is still have H go out there and be like, I told you, I sent my destroyer after you.
Well, that's what Samoa Joe did on Twitter.
Yeah.
He changes his name to The Destroyer, and he had shared the video of him walking on crutches, like, I believe I did exactly what I was asked to do. And then he even showed a gif of Alice in Wonderland, you know, sobbing. It's like, this is what happens when all your fans are, you know, bitching at you for injuring their guy.
Yeah,
and he's just playing it up. It's just like it's just like Owen Hart with Owen 316 says, "I just broke your neck."
I mean, I say you book it, right? And then you have, if Seth Rollins isn't ready, he comes out on his crutch. You know, Triple H makes his stupid entrance. Seth Rollins comes out on his crutch. He's like,
yeah,
his freaking hardcore metalcore music comes out on his crutch. He's like, H, Hunter, Paul, I would do anything to kick your ass tonight, but I can't. So I got this guy too. Bum, 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 bum.
So
here
gonna,
comes Kurt Angle. Oh my God!
So you're gonna burn Kurt Angle a surprise match against Triple H?
Absolutely.
In theory, he's already going to be at WrestleMania.
He's already going to be. Okay. He won't even be in his gear. He'll have the suit on and
how
shit.
How about this? Like, all right. So if
tearaway suit.
If you were thinking about putting back together the Shield at some point in time, wouldn't it make sense just for Rollins to just get Dean Ambrose to do his dirty work for that match?
Absolutely, because like we just that's the. I was joking.
Yeah.
The realistic possibility would be Dean Ambrose has nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, maybe we do the. I don't know if they're going to do the ladder match that they normally do for the IC belt. Maybe Dean drops it. And then, you know, if you're 4 weeks out of Mania, Dean still has nothing to do, and it looks like Seth Rollins' knee isn't going to hold up, then you book that. So then you go, okay, well, like, let's save Dean. Maybe he can have some matches on SmackDown. He can be a surprise opponent for Triple H that night. And I think if you book it the way I said, it would probably be one of the best ways to do it, because then it's like a, you know, it's supposed to be a surprise and whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was pretty quick.
Whenever he's tired, he doesn't like talking. That's how he
does. All right, cool. So the other big story coming out of this week is, guys, we're actually going to see John Cena versus Randy Orton next week on SmackDown.
Yeah.
A week before the Elimination Chamber.
Which is killing, like, the idea of this happening at WrestleMania that everybody is bitching about. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
Like, they don't, like, these guys don't put on good matches when they wrestle in the ring. Like, they haven't worked together for how many years? Let's be honest. It's not as good, but this is probably this generation's Rock and Austin, right? Am I wrong to say that? Technically, I mean, these were the two biggest stars on opposite brands for the longest time.
It's okay.
What else would you liken it to?
All right, I like the Rock Austin thing, but that was actually kind of fun to watch a lot of times. I'm saying maybe closer to Rock Triple H.
Okay,
because that was kind of boring at times.
That's a good.
Know?
I guess that's a better. Okay, that's
a better. I can
analogy,
see that
yeah.
just because. You know, here are two guys that were, you know, rising stars back in 2004. But then I think the problem, what WWE did, was that they paired them off way too many times. So then it, instead of being like, oh, wow, because, like, you know, you remember, like, they were the poster boy for the SmackDown versus Raw first game. It was Randy Orton and John Cena. So you already knew that they were destined to always kind of, like, intertwine. As you know, as
and you knew that from the video game cover when that came
well,
out.
It's just,
look at the past video games. Lesnar's in the video game. Lesnar comes back. Goldberg's in the video game. Goldberg comes back. CM Punk's in the video game, and he sues them for a lot of money.
It's the idea of the fact that you have two guys that are obviously, you know, part of the advertisement for, you know, their video game franchise. So they always tie in any, like, you know, external advertising with their storyline. So I mean that makes sense. And that, like, and that's the thing too, is that I think that they were already going to be the rising stars even before the game came out. It was just, hey, we want to feature you guys because you guys are the top guys right now. And I think the problem was is that, I mean, like, Botchamania even, like, listed all the match graphics of every time they face off, and there's a lot. Like, if you break it down, there was a lot of times that they went on one on one, and that's the thing, is that at least, like, Rock and Austin, yeah, they went off one on one, but. You know,
it did
they,
not happen very often.
They spaced it out. They, you know, they had, like, all right, well, Rock needs to be doing something with Mankind, and Triple H needs to do something with Austin so we can keep them away for a little bit. But now it's just like, well, we just did John Cena and Randy Orton, so let's do John Cena and Randy Orton. Fuck it.
I think the problem that you're seeing a lot with today's, too, is, like, in that time frame is what we're seeing a lot today, too, is you're almost wasting pay-per-view matches on your Raws and your SmackDowns, so that was probably played a role in it, too. The reason why I was likening it to Rock and Stone Cold, and the reason why, if you were to think about this WrestleMania needing that main event match, I mean, when you look at it, and that's why it kind of sucks, because how many times they've wrestled each other.
Yeah.
But Orton, how many times has he been world champ? Like 10-plus times? Cena's 16 now at this point.
Yeah.
Like, those two guys, if you didn't pay attention to the fact that this is pro wrestling and we've seen them work thousands and thousands of times, those two guys are easily the most you know,
decorated,
achieved full-time guys still on both rosters. Am I wrong to say that?
No,
no. You're not.
And I think that's part of the reason why it, to me, like that's like, you know, the two heavyweights coming together because they haven't fought in a long time. Some of the people bitching about Cena being the world champ, he hasn't been champ in like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But I understand the point that, you know, we've seen this 1,000 times, and when you already have the Goldberg-Lesnar match, which people aren't looking forward to, when you have Reigns being advertised as going over Taker at Mania, which people aren't looking forward to, this is putting a sour taste in everybody's mouth because everybody wants to see AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega because apparently that's what everybody's pants and the only thing that everybody wants to see.
You know, I hate to say it, though. You think some of it is just the over-clamoring nature of just overthinking wrestling fans when it comes to the product.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You know? It's like when I was listening to Austin's podcast this week, he's like, yeah, man, I don't watch Raw or SmackDown on a regular basis. I don't know what any of the storylines are. I just go into pay-per-view. I'm like, am I going to have fun watching this? Yes, I am. It's the Royal Rumble. God damn it, it's good stuff. Did I have fun watching it? Yes, I did. Because I had no expectations. Maybe we should just, as fans coming into these big shows, just not have expectations.
Right.
Because, like, going into, like, hate to say it, like, NXT, this past weekend, no expectations going in watching it. Loved it.
Yeah, you watched it?
Loved it.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was fun.
It was a fun show.
It was fun because, like, I had to ask a few other people. I'm like, hey, how was NXT? They're like, eh, it was okay. I'm like, okay, well, why was it just okay?
I told you it was good, to be fair.
Yeah, you did. You did. But a few people were just like, eh, it was okay. And a lot of that, I think, is just expectations of what you hope happens to the reality of what actually does happen.
But I think overall it was a good show. And that's why I'm talking about this, too, and it's like, I think a lot of the times fans want something that they've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Cena be the champ already 15 times now, so a 16th time pissed people off. AJ Styles kills it with everybody he has a match with.
Yep.
That Dean Ambrose match they had on SmackDown, I don't know if you guys watched it, fucking awesome match. Honestly,
I haven't watched SmackDown in a while.
Honestly, Miz was on commentary, killed it for me, because I could almost not focus on the match half the time because they were working their storyline, which is fine, probably the point of it, but it kind of killed it a little bit. What I'm trying to say is, you know, AJ Styles, WWE champion, new, everybody wants it. Everybody wants Bray Wyatt to win because it'd be something new, Bray Wyatt being the champ, taking on Orton at Mania. It'd be his WrestleMania moment or whatever. And I agree with that and everything, but I just, when you look at big picture and everything, WWE's going to find spots for these guys, and they're probably going to have great matches and everything, and I think if you look at it that way.
You got to remember, too, we still have the Elimination Chamber coming up in a week and a half.
Yeah. And I mean, I just, it's funny how much stock sometimes I think people put into the championship. Like, do I want to see Goldberg and Lesnar working for the belt? No.
Yeah.
But is it going to ruin WrestleMania for me?
No.
You know, John Cena and AJ Styles worked how many times over the summer without a belt on the line, and it was fucking great. It was like the best, one of the best series of matches that we've had in a long time. And, you know, we remember that point of it. We don't remember that was for a title or not.
No, not
at all. That's why I think, you know, sometimes when people are looking at these fantasy bookings of WrestleMania and getting pissed off about Roman Reigns, you know, Roman Reigns, you take an Undertaker? Wow. Unbelievable, man. You know who's taking Undertaker? Kenny Omega.
You know what's terrible, though? It's like when you had the Taker Reigns stare down at Rumble.
It was great.
It was good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you almost kind of feel like the goose pimples and like just the way that
Reigns' face sold that.
Yeah, and it's a good story, too, because here's Reigns basically talking about being the top dog in the yard, and that's Taker's shtick.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good shtick. You know, that's a good match right there on paper. And tell you the truth, like, man, everyone bashes Reigns, but motherfucker goes out there and performs.
He had a good match against Owens.
Everybody wants to bash him for being like not into it, but it's like, you know, he comes from a long line of, you know, professional wrestlers, and you know he puts in his A game every time. So you know it's really hard for him to it's really hard for people to advocate that he's actually not committed to it when he really is.
I think the trouble with Reigns, and you know this is, and I have this same feeling too. So I'm not like speaking about others. Like I have this strong feeling too. Thing about Reigns that sucks for him, he's not good on the mic, but he's not terrible. He's awesome in the ring. He has a fucking awesome look. I mean, just his demeanor and everything, you know, like his facial expressions are great. Mm-hmm. I think he has a good move. Like, I know that it could be expanded, but in this day and age, not many people aside from like an AJ Styles has a very expanded moveset in WWE just because they work every night. But the thing that I think a lot of people dislike about Reigns is the fact that they feel like, knowing, like, Vince is just you know, has this huge hard on for this guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people don't like him. It has nothing to do with his in-ring stuff. It's just knowing, and I mean, it's one of the reasons why I dislike him a little bit too, because Vince has a hard on for this dude.
Yeah.
And you want to see the love spread. You want to see the wealth spread around, and you feel like you're just getting.
So you're saying Vince needs to basically fucking orgasm to spread that love around.
He does.
So he needs to get rid of that boner.
He needs to get rid of that polygamy. Yeah, he needs to.
Yeah.
And, I think a Reigns heel turn would be awesome because that dude looked like a fucking heel at the Royal Rumble, and it was cool.
Then you run into the problem that you're always going to run into with a Roman Reigns heel turn. How many people who actually despise him right the fuck now will be sucking his fucking dick the second
he
turns?
And that's the thing. I don't give a shit about cheers or boos.
Yeah.
What I care about is him coming out there and being fucking Mr. Fruit Loop. That's the thing I don't care for.
Mr. Fruit Loop. Because that's not him.
No.
You know what he is? He comes out there and he's like, you know, sometimes he kills it with his promos. You know, he comes out there, it's like, I want to kick someone's, whatever, I'll kick somebody's ass. I'm a big fucking Samoan. I got a big tribal tattoo. I want to whoop some ass. It's
That's
like
pretty good paraphrasing.
It's like, yeah. It's like, I agree with you. That works. But when he does this cheesy bullshit, or it's like, oh, I'm sticking up for my friends. Hey, look at, you know, just this garbage, it comes off as, you know, just not very authentic. And that's why, that's the only thing that, I want a heel turn, not necessarily because he's getting booed. I want a heel turn because that's just his persona.
Yeah.
It's like the Steve Austin persona. Even when he was a face or a heel, he was the same freaking dude. He'd come out there and be like, I'm Steve Austin. I like drinking beer and giving people Stone Cold Stunners. Blah. And yeah, I mean, if he was a heel, he'd probably flip off a fan. If he wasn't a heel, he would have the fans flip off with him. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't some cheesy fucking Steve Austin. And when he was, it was after WrestleMania X7, and that was fucking fantastic.
That was good stuff.
It was good stuff, but it was because it was a very small, you know, sample of it.
I think he also kind of figured in his little title run he had with Dude Love.
I don't remember that.
He was
tag belts, was he?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
This dude's like
blacked out.
You gotta have some love in your life there, Steve. Steve's like, fuck off.
Fuck off.
We don't need no love.
Fuck off. Mick. I mean, dude.
Yeah.
But that's just what I'm saying. You know, I personally think the heel turns is necessary because then it allows Reigns just to be that badass heel. Because
if he goes into WrestleMania, you know he's going to get booed out of the building. Beats the Undertaker, is going to get booed out of the building. That's like the perfect heel turn right there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Like during the match.
He got booed
at the last WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. He gets booed just about any time he's involved in a big, you know, picture, you know, scenario. So, yeah, you might as well just accept the fact that he's going to get booed, put him with Undertaker, and, you know, ride off in the sunset with that.
Yeah. And, I don't think – you know, when you heard about him winning the Rumble last year and people were booing him and everything, and, like, you know, you heard some of, like, the people inside WWE were, like, all fucking pissed off, like, oh, you should give this guy respect and everything. And it's like, again, I don't think people are booing him because of his work or because of anything else aside from knowing that Vince has a hard-on for him. I really think that's the reason why. And if you are booing him because you think he sucks at wrestling, well, then you suck at life because then you don't make good decisions and you don't know the right things. But seriously, because he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
How many times have we done this fucking podcast and he has a match with somebody, right? Like an AJ Styles, like a whatever. And, you know, going into it, everybody's like, oh, this is whatever. And we always do this freaking podcast, and we come on here, and it's like, that was a good match.
Yeah.
Reigns had a good match.
He did.
Weird.
Yeah. Go figure. It's like the same thing John Cena suffered through for years.
He still suffers through it, too.
Still to this day.
4.75 match, according to Dave Meltzer, which should have been a 5, but it wasn't in a Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, you know,
AJ
it probably would have been a 5 if Styles would have caught him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably.
But then again, that's like 250 pounds coming off the top rope like that. You're not going to catch him.
No, you're not.
Because
I remember when he caught him, I was like, oh, you know, that kind of probably a little bit of a screw up. Mm-hmm. But how do you expect somebody to catch a dude like that? That's crazy.
Yeah,
It would have been phenomenal.
It would have been phenomenal.
You got to pull that farmer strength.
Yeah.
He's got farmer strength, right, AJ Styles?
He's definitely got to have farmer strength.
Yeah, probably.
Jesus strength, too.
Jesus. Now you're bringing religion into this.
But, I mean, he also brings religion into this.
He does. He has, like, a little choker necklace with the cross on it, I think.
Right, cool. So one of the other big stories coming out of this week, Lucha Underground. It's going to be available on the Netflix starting the day after Valentine's Day. So, guys, or gals, if your dates go bad, at least you have Lucha Underground to look forward to.
And half off candy.
And half off candy.
Yeah.
Two whole seasons starting the 15th.
Yeah, I'm so happy because I paid so much money to buy that DVD.
Hey, man, you never knew. It's just one of those things where you went out and got it. It's like buying a TV show on DVD like 5 fucking years ago, and all of a sudden it's free now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, like I bought There goes that pen.
$10.99.
I bought that. I bought the Game of Thrones box set after. I already have HBO Go. I don't need them. Buy them anyways.
Yeah.
Kind of cool to have it. You put it in the bookshelf. Like, bam, there that is. Look at that cool collection.
You get that, like, the bonus content.
You get the bonus content.
Sometimes it's not worth it.
You know? Like, what if internet's gone for a day?
Yeah.
I can't watch it then, but now I can.
Yeah.
DVD, pop it in.
Yeah.
Right?
Blu-ray, maybe.
The nice thing about Lucha Underground... on Netflix, you can like watch it on your phone now. So if you like, over the past couple of nights, I went to bed. You know, the fiance has to go to bed early, so I'll go in there with her. But then I sit there on my phone with my headphones in, and I'll watch. You know, I caught up on the UK tournament.
Yeah,
I watched WWE's 24 that they produced. You know, so it's like I'm able to catch up on stuff. And now Lucha Underground, I can do that because honestly, sometimes to get in a room with a DVD player at the same time and then have to sit there and like, you know, just watch it when there's other things you'd be doing throughout the day, it's tough.
I like how you did the Undertaker urn pose.
Paul Bear.
Evan, the DVD opens up. Trey, shh. Evan, you're like, eyeballs go in the back of your head. It closes.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
But I know you must be pretty excited. I mean, you don't even have Netflix anymore, but you must be pretty pumped.
You're so pumped, you want to resubscribe to Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I didn't even think about that you actually have the DVDs, but it's nice.
Which is funny because we had the conversation like 2 weeks ago with you.
I know. I'm just saying that like I forgot about having the DVDs at the house because you have them. But I mean that it's if I didn't have access to the DVDs, it's nice because you know getting Netflix isn't isn't that far out of reach so to speak for anybody. You just subscribe for a month. You can watch it on your phone, watch it on your gaming platform, watch it on your computer, wherever. And it's definitely something different to watch. You know you can. You know, just put wrestling on just like you would with the network. So absolutely, and you know, and that's the thing too is that it's a nice shot in the arm for like for watching wrestling on a internet provider because you can watch Raw, SmackDown, all that stuff on Hulu and Netflix and obviously the network. And now you can also do that with Lucha Underground.
The nice thing that Lucha Underground did here, too, is just the accessibility of Netflix. Like, that's the one thing about New Japan, because I don't have New Japan World yet, but I was hardcore thinking about getting it a couple of weeks after Wrestle Kingdom, just because I wanted to stay more up to date with their storylines and stuff. But to my knowledge, you can only access New Japan World through the web. You can't access... There's no app.
Yeah, there's
or,
no app.
And that's the...
As of right now, there's no app. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year there is an app.
And that's
because they're really going forward with this English push. Like, their website just went live this week. It's really nice.
Did it really?
Yeah, really nice website. I wouldn't be surprised.
And that's what I would hope for. That's what's tough for me is, you know, I rely on my app on my phone for WWE.
Yeah.
If I want to watch WWE, on a different TV, I use like my PlayStation. Same thing goes for Netflix, Hulu, all that stuff. I rely on the app. I never go to the physical website.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, New Japan World, I think once they break that mold, you know, I tell you, you got a new customer right here waiting.
Yeah.
You know, I want that. I just need the app. I need that. There's an app for that. Is that what the.
That's,
there's not an app for that.
There will be an app for that.
There will be an app for that.
There will be an app for that.
The only other thing that I wanted to bring up, guys, really quick.
Cool.
What's
going on?
Excuse me?
What, are you getting a phone call from a scammer?
No.
Farted. The only other thing, I think I saw at one of our like many friend pages that we're on now.
Yeah.
WWE possibly setting up an Asia tournament now. Did you see
this? Yeah, that was kind of like in the rumbles after the UK tournament was. There's very much a talk about...
Is Ho Ho going to be in it?
Yeah, probably. He's going to win it. He's going to fucking win it.
Honestly, he might be.
Makes sense. Basically, what they want to do is set up... Like, with these tournaments, almost like these mock territories. So you're setting up a territory in Asia, and there's a possibility of doing one in Latin America as well, which is a smart move because what you're doing is you're setting up these tournaments in places that have a strong network affiliate. So if you got strong network subscribers in these areas, why not cater some of that programming to those people? It's perfect. I thought with, like, the UK tournament, good two-day tournament. It's a fairly solid show. You know, they did very well, and it seems like they're going to go gung-ho with it. Depends on who you ask, though, like how well received it's going to be with some of the talent. But, you know, that's a different story altogether. It's going to be interesting, though, because, like, you're going to see guys who, especially in Japan, stuff like that, a lot of freelancers probably signing up for this tournament. But you're also going to have to make connections with certain promotions as well. So the question is, who are you going to make those connections with if you're WWE?
Yeah, and I think that's a tough thing. But, you know, that's WWE, man. I mean, people are giving them shit for, like, stealing up talent off the indies. And,
oh,
like,
fuck,
basically,
man. They've been doing that since the 80s.
They've been doing it since the 80s.
That's the whole point, though, if you're in the indies, is to get called up by WWE.
Go ask these indie guys. Like, they won't maybe say it while they're on the indies, but all these freaking WWE dudes, anytime you listen to one of their stories, they're like, yeah, I worked the indies, but it was always my dream to be here and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, and people are always bitching about it.
Yep.
But, I think when you look at WWE, like, the business, I mean, CWC went so well. They held this UK tournament, and my gosh, like, I just caught up with it. What a phenomenal thing they were able to do. Like you said, just great programming, two days of it.
Yeah.
You got to see all this stuff that you never got to see otherwise. I mean, just the style was so unique, so cool. And for WWE, what it does, too, is it allows them to, like, you know, not only spread their reach, but it allows them to see more of these guys. Like, okay, well, how does a Dunn or, a Wolfgang or some other guy that was in the tournament, how do they look on WWE television? Could this translate over here in America? Is this something we want to continue doing?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I think it's great for WWE. It's great for pro wrestling fans. Don't bitch about it.
Yeah.
Because you get more wrestling content, and then, you know, it's... I'm really excited to see where they're going, and I'm really hoping, too, aside from this Asia tournament, the women's tournament that's been rumored like crazy.
Yes,
I would love that. That'd be so cool to see happen.
It's a good way to introduce some of the female wrestlers like Heidi Lovelace and Kimberly that are, you know, in the developmental talent right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
You already have them signed, and you signed them for a reason, but, I mean, if you're going to be doing this tournament, you can get some more of the females from the independent scene if that's what you're looking to do, but then you can also showcase the people that you've already signed and you're trying to add, because they just did an article or a video package featuring some of the recent talents and why they're going to change the role of women's wrestling in WWE. So
yeah, definitely
cool. You know, we should probably get to that interview.
Probably should. So Riley, want to give us another setup before we go into it?
Interview with JKLK, talking about the past Mondo Lucha show, just kind of talking about how everything got set up there, and just talking about his experience with Johnny Mundo just being at the show, and how he's now calling himself Johnny Mondo in Mondo Lucha because he enjoyed it and he wants to come back. Just as a forewarning, I was sick during this interview, so my voice is gonna sound like shit. But most importantly, Jay was not sick, and you can hear him, and that's all that counts.
Nice, good plug.
Thanks.
Mondo Lucha coming up next right here on Grapple Talk.
This is Stacy Shadows.
We've said it numerous times that Stacy Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
take on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruisers. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. And as always, support independent wrestling.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Grapple Talk, Spotlight in Squared Circle, sitting down with Jay Kilke of Mondo Lucha. Jay, thanks for being on the show once again.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So, for the record, if you can't tell, lose my voice a little bit, you know, just caught the bug that that my roommates had, but at the same time, nobody wants to hear me talk. They want to hear you talk. So we're just going to go with that. So Mondo Lucha, the last show was just in the books a couple months ago,
About a month and a half.
About a month and a half ago. So, I mean, like, just kind of riding off of now that you've had time to adjust, I mean, how did you feel the show went?
Show was great. You know, we were talking a couple weeks ago about it, and in wrestling, there's something called fuzzy math, I feel, is a big thing. Fuzzy numbers, a lot of people talk about their gates, or they talk about, like, oh, how many people were there in a venue that might hold 150 people. They'll say, oh, we had 175 in the door. I always feel people kind of raise their numbers, and that's cool. I get it, and that makes sense. But I think it's interesting, or it's great, when you can actually say, well, we had a sellout. And it wasn't us calling a sellout. It was the venue saying, you cannot sell any more tickets. Like, we have officially at the box office stopped selling tickets. Your event is sold out. And it's cool because it's kind of like undisputable at that point.
Right.
And I think that's something that, you know, we hang our hat on. This is our second year of straight sellout. We sold out. The tickets were officially off the table, I think, by 9 a.m. on that Friday before the show. And then, to be honest, people worked their butts off on the show. I think, hands down, our best show to date. Every match was fun. Every match told a different story. Everybody just really went for it. You know, some new faces this year introduced Melanie Cruz to the crowd. People were bananas for her. Excited to have her back next year. Of course, Matt Cross and Johnny Mundo, or as we call him now, Johnny Mondo, since him and Matt are the tag team champions.
I get it.
There you go, right? So great to have John Morrison or John Mondo now a part of the stable for Mondo Lucha, and he'll be back next year. Yeah, it's just like everything's firing on all cylinders, and we're just like over the moon about it. So it's great.
So when we were talking, we were hanging out at a restaurant. What was the restaurant's name again?
Oh, Red Dot.
Yeah, Red Dot. So shout out to the people at Red Dot, because they have phenomenal food. Because, what was it? We had like a turkey club sandwich, and it was like on Texas toast. And I mean, I figured, oh, it's just going to be a sandwich. And it was delicious. And it was more than just a sandwich. And I mean, that's
only the best for you. Only the best.
All right. Well, I'll take that. So, and that was the thing too, is like Turner Pro Ballroom. Like you said that we weren't able to sell any more tickets because they were sold out at full capacity. And I've had people say, and I think you've said it too, is that that's never happened before. Like, it, you know, Ring of Honor's been at the Turner Hall Ballroom. They've never sold out. So what's that like for you, where, I mean, you're not Ring of Honor. You're not like what's considered a huge national promotion, and you're selling out a place more than a national organization. Is that weird at all?
Yeah, because I have nothing but respect. We have respect for everybody. We have respect for every promotion, everybody running, everybody's doing their own thing, and we think it's great. What I think it's a testament to is it's hard work. We are a publicity machine. I think we find ways. I mean, nobody else is doing coloring books, you know, things along that nature. We did backpacks this year, coloring books. I think the product we provide is unique for the area. And we just are trying to have a good time. And to me, something like Ring of Honor, or like NXT was there, and NXT sold it out. In fact, NXT was the fastest sellout of Turner Hall in the history of Turner Hall, which is great. And, you know, I'm not saying we're anything near that, but it's great to be able to be considered in that capacity. I think that's awesome, especially seeing as there was supposed to be a show in August at Turner Hall, like roughly a month before us, where Sting was going to be there and Lex Luger, and they canceled the show. So to me, I think, oh, well, we must be doing something right if, you know, we get that kind of success. So, and longevity. I think the tenacity and longevity of going on and sticking with it and believing in our vision and not compromising, I think that's all, and having a good business plan. That's all the things you need to trust in it. And if you believe in it and you believe in your product enough, people will come. So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's great. It's humbling. Really humbling.
Definitely. So on top of that, too, so, you know, you're talking about Johnny Mundo, or in this case, Johnny Mondo, as you said. I think one of the coolest things hearing you say was when we were at lunch at the Red Dot, and again, shout out to them. But we were talking about how, you know, Johnny was there at the show, and then he's like, can I come back? Like, how is that? Just have a guy like Johnny Mundo basically be like, can I come back next time? Like, but yeah, I think that was even before the show started.
Yeah, it's again, it's humbling that somebody who's been in WWE, Lucha Underground, AAA, all of that, and just to have him pull you aside and say, you know, you guys got a great thing here. This is amazing. Like that's the validation. Like that's what I think is great about it. It's nice. It's just you watch these people on TV or you get to know them, and we're all fans. We wouldn't be doing this if we weren't fans. And to be able to talk to somebody and have them give their blessing on something like that it's just great. But you know, and we just talked about it a couple minutes ago. You know, the one thing I always say is like we don't want to be defined by who we bring in or who's wrestling for us. We don't want it to be we don't want Mondo Lucha to be propped up on the name of somebody coming in. I think it's a nice bonus that you can have someone like John come in, we always want it to be the focus is Mondo Lucha. This is the product. This is what you're getting. And you know, it's just to look at the last show and just to, again, we talk about that business model. And it's the Johnny Mundo match was the tag match was the second to last match, wasn't the main event. The main event was one of our returning stars who came back, the GOAT. We introduced Space Monkey in that match as well, with all regular Mondo Lucha characters basically in that match as the main event, which was just as amped up. People were just as excited for that as they were for having the quote-unquote name in a match before that, even to the point where, you know, we're looking at everything that we had show-wise, it was just, it's amazing to think that John just became, he's another part of the team now, and he's just another person that when you think of Mondo Lucha, you think of, like, great wrestling names and that are coming in now and, like, wanting to be part of the team, and that's all we want is just good team members. So.
Yeah, definitely. And hey, what's that like to like? What's the mentality for that? Because I feel like a lot of people when they bring in a name, they assume that has to be like the last guy, the main event, because every, you know that's the big draw. But like, whereas like you said, like that was second to last match, and you had like household names in the main. So you know what's that like to kind of break that quote unquote mold, so to speak, of oh, just because we have a name doesn't mean that he has to be in the main event. So like, what's the you know so. For people that maybe are listening, sure. Are just like, well, I got to bring this guy in as the main. It's like, you don't have to because you've just done it.
Well, I think you have to trust the guys you have working for you, with the exception of Space Monkey, everybody that was in that main
event.
Don't
trust Space Monkey.
Never trust Space Monkey. For the main event match, those are all guys that have wrestled for us numerous times. I mean, Eric Cannon, Dysfunction, Rough Crossing, the GOAT, the Russian, like people been there since the very first show for us. I trust them. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. And I believe in our product. So again, I'm not trying to make to belittle John at all, but it's just like, I believe in our product and I knew where we needed to go. I think also we've been telling a story. There's a narrative that's carried on for many years and that narrative was wrapping up. That was the end of it. And there's no way you have that not finish the show. I mean, we had a spaceship land in the parking lot of Turner Hall. That kind of does trump a little bit of having Cross. Yeah, having Matt Cross and John Morrison win the tag belts. Yeah, that's great. But in the main event, a spaceship landed in the parking lot. So, I mean, that's kind of
making
big.
An entrance.
That's a big entrance, right, exactly. So you don't put that before. It's just like you have to kind of end with the spaceship. This kind of the thing. So, yeah, I think that's probably the best thing. It's just like trust your talent, know who you're working with, and believe in them. And, you know, if you have good guys and you know they can do it, then you just got to let them run with it.
Definitely. So what's next for Mondo Lucha? What's as we look forward to the next show, what are you guys talking about and what are you guys planning on doing, if anything? Anything that you could share, rather. I know you're gonna do something, obviously.
Right, right. No, and to be honest, it's like we know the direction we're going, we know the theme we're going with. At this point we were just talking about how can we get a large enough green screen and have a car raised off the ground and still have its wheels spinning and film something. So take that as you will. We've thrown around a theme of Mad Max Fury Road as an actual some stuff, but there's some other ideas we have brewing that I think we're going to work with. The big thing I'm excited about now, and I'm sorry, this might be controversial that I'm going to let it out on your podcast. I'm actually doing a podcast with Derek St. Holmes called Cigars and Conversations. We just wrapped our first three this last week where we're going to be talking about the territories and quote-unquote old-time wrestling stuff. So it's basically all just wrestling history. We're putting that, we're getting that in the can right now. And then the regular Mondo Lucha production staff right now is working on editing together all the matches from the last show. And we're going to just kind of start slowly releasing the matches leading up to our announcement on the next date and, you know, what's going to be happening.
So yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the podcast in itself is interesting because there's definitely fans of the old school wrestling mentality. And if they aren't fans of old school wrestling, they should be fans of St. Holmes because that guy can talk about anything.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. So, I mean, Cigars and Conversations is what it's called.
Yeah, and it's funny because I like to talk. Derek likes to talk. In my role, I'm just the lowly co-host that throws him the question, the softball, and then he hits the home run every time, and I just sit back and go, uh-huh, yep, yep, wow, okay. And then I just make sure that we steer it in the right direction. So it's heavy on Derek, it's light on me, which is exactly how I want it to be, because knowing Derek as long as I have, that guy has just so much information in him, and I just think he needs to get it out there and be sharing it with everybody. So what better way than to do it through a podcast? So.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree any better than that. That's fantastic. So for the next upcoming show, I don't want to spoil too much, but can you kind of give people an idea of what season maybe to look forward for Mondo Lucha? Can we do that? Or
well, everybody in Milwaukee knows the fall, early fall after Labor Day is Mondo Lucha season. It's what it's been said. I don't. People say, "Oh, I love Mondo Lucha season."
So you're just gonna switch it up and be in the summer, right?
Yeah. So now we're doing winter of 2017. No, it'll be in the fall again, close to the start of the school year at some point. So
and of course we talked about this, but to actually establish, Johnny Mondo really wants to come back. Is he coming back?
We're making sure that it all works out. Like, I mean, he's very busy. He not only is he wrestling, but he's a producer. He's been writing. He actually had one of his movies that he wrote that was made, and he was shopping that around, which we were trying to get shown here at one point. Okay. So he's got a lot going on. If I'm a betting man, I would say count on him being there. He has to defend the Mondo Lucha Tag Team belts.
He's got it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So before we wrap things up here, Jay, how do people find Cigars and Conversations? How do they find Mondo Lucha on social media?
I don't know where you're going to find the podcast yet, to be honest with you. We're working on that. And like I say, there's some – I'm not as savvy with the interwebs as other people, so I don't have the exact information. But there will be a Facebook fan page up with all the availability probably in the next week or two. And then if you're looking for Mondo Lucha, just look up Mondo Lucha on Facebook. That's probably the best spot right now. Kind of let the website – lag a little bit, but yeah, what are you going to do? It's almost Christmas time, so we're not working on that stuff right now. But anyone wants to get in contact with us, just reach us on Facebook. That's the best spot.
Awesome. So. Well, Jay, always a pleasure to chat with you, and thank you for being on the spotlight again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Love it.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines. I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. Interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever it happens to, check us out on iTunes or DVME.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up...
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
That was a really good interview, guys. Why do you keep on pointing like finger guns at me?
Why do you, why do you gotta say that?
Rock countdown. Go.
I already started the show. I came back for the interview, you know, and like it was a really good interview with Jay.
Wrong. Wrong.
Minus the fact that I couldn't talk for shit. That was
a good interview.
There's
nothing different about that. You can't talk worth a shit as it is.
Yeah, but it's worse when I can't even, you know, actually speak because just, you know, there's, you know, just my throat was just so fucked up.
Drink fluids.
I drank fluids, but it not, you know.
Rest your voice.
Rest that voice of yours.
Yeah. Put it on a pillow. Like, put your voice on a pillow.
Wrong.
I do kind of like your Donald Trump haircut right now.
You really?
Nice. Yeah.
It's not that
nice.
Much like Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to be
nothing
blonde.
Nothing nice. Can...
Platinum blonde.
...replicate his awesome haircut. I want it... Honestly, I would do anything in the world just to see what it looks like when he... Like, if he wakes up and just showers and, like, you know, whatever. I just want to see what it looks like.
I don't think he showers.
Probably not.
At least they're, you know, with water.
Don't say that you would do anything because I don't want to find out that you were in the news for trying to break into the White House and just be like, hey,
I just want to see
what's your hair look like.
I don't even care. I just want to see what it looks like.
Get this guy out of here.
I'm just curious.
Get out.
Are you not curious at all? To what? To why not?
Can't really say that.
What do you mean why?
Sleep at night for that.
I don't lose sleep. I'm just curious. You tell me if like somebody was like, hey Jesse, I got a picture of Donald Trump. Like his regular hair. You want to see it?
I'd be like, okay. But I won't be like, oh.
Really?
Oh, I'd just be like, oh, really?
It's exciting.
Cool.
It's something that you normally wouldn't get
to see.
I don't
know. I get more excited seeing videos of chimps using tools than Donald Trump's haircut. Because that shit scares me. It really scares me that primates can actually use
like what
tools.
Kind of tools?
Like bows and arrows.
Oh, that's a weapon. That's not a tool.
Yeah. There's a video running around of chimpanzees who can actually spearfish.
Kind of like Planet of the Apes a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's like the
Once they get to about, be about eight, they can realize that they're monkeys and they can fuck us up.
Yeah, basically.
That's why they have to retire them. If there's the chimpanzees that they use like for movies and like shows and stuff like that, it's like once they're eight, just like nope, they're done.
Really?
Yep.
So why? You guys remember the monkey cage over at Myrick? When you guys were
there was
up?
No cage there, man.
Yeah, it was, dude.
Oh, yeah. And
the spider monkey cage.
The monkey island.
Yeah.
There was no cage in the monkey island.
Yeah, but there was like a monkey island,
There was the monkey dome.
I remember that.
They always jerked off. That's all they did.
Did they really?
They just run up to people go, bah!
They did not do
that. Yeah, they did.
They scared them off by jerking off.
Yeah.
I miss the prairie dogs over there, dude. I always wanted to just jump in there and just hang out with them.
Just wanted a prairie dog with prairie dogs?
Yeah. Why not?
I must seen the bears and there.
Dude, I'm pretty sure those bears all died.
Oh, they
pretty sure that's like a terrible story.
I think I'm pretty sure that was like one of the reasons that the zoo got closed down just because the animals were being.
So what happened with the rest of the animals?
Killed them.
Why?
What kind of meat do you think you're getting at the grocery store? They're still selling that tiger meat.
mystery meat.
So that's why my hot dog has stripes?
Well, there shouldn't be any fur on it.
Son of a bitch. There's some tiger sausages. I don't know.
They probably just sold them to another zoo, man. But I'm just pretty sure. I think I heard the story about, like, yeah, one of the bears died or something. It was just,
yeah, I remember that, like, was one of the main reasons why that we don't have a zoo anymore is because the bears and other animals were being neglected and one of them died, like, in the habitat.
But you don't fucking neglect animals if you have them in a zoo.
Yeah.
You take care of them.
You don't neglect a bear because when you're like, hey, time to feed you, you're dead.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
At that point, you're just walking meat.
I don't know if, like, they're funding ran out or what happened down there, but it wasn't good.
Yeah. No.
Spent it all on heroin.
I always miss, like, when the peacocks would get out and they'd be walking around and you'd be like, yeah. What the fuck?
I was like,
what the fuck is that big bird?
It's like, the NBC logo. And he's like,
bro!
Yeah.
It's
mates!
I mean, you hear, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. Good stuff.
That was a good zoo. Stuff. I miss that. I mean, yeah. It actually was a really shitty zoo.
Yeah,
but
was.
As a kid, it was awesome.
Like, it was a novelty because, you know, it was
nostalgic, yeah.
It was a zoo, mm-hmm. You know, because you have to go to Milwaukee if you want to go to the zoo. And
well, there's one in Madison.
There's one in Madison. But,
yeah,
I mean,
there's one up in the cities, too.
I mean, we're in Milwaukee more than we are in Madison or the cities, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying just, like, based on distance.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to, today, you were like, I want to go to a zoo. Like, Madison's closer, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, Madison's
like,
pretty
geographically,
close.
What?
Geographically? Geographically.
Geographically.
Yeah.
I was trying to say geography and then
you can
geology
say
at the same
based
time.
Based on distance.
Based on
yeah,
geography.
Based on distance would have been a better way.
Mm-hmm. Based on map.
Yeah, because the cities is like 2.5.
Based
it's
on.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty close, actually, when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're more Minnesotan than we are Wisconsinite.
Because we're right on the border.
Yeah.
Like 3 minutes away, we're in Minnesota.
3 whole minutes.
Well, yeah. 3 miles, but that basically.
Are you saying that's our
jump and a jog?
3 minute warning.
Jump and a jog.
They're going to get splashed now by Rosie and Jamal.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Make me sad.
What? Bring them up? That's good stuff.
Make me sad that he's dead.
Yumanga.
Yumanga. Was that stuff on his face? Was that an actual tattoo or was it paint?
I think that was paint.
Yeah.
Never saw it rub off.
I think it was really good paint.
Like, really hardcore good paint.
I think it's acrylic paint because Kongo Kong has the same thing. Because, like, when he did the podcast with Cabana, he learned that acrylic paint is good because that way it doesn't, like, rub off on people's gears and then they just have your fucking paint all over their shit.
So I was wondering that because, like, every time he, you know, when Lord Tensai would, his fake Japanese tattoo would wear off. But Umaga, that stuff stayed. Whole Royal Rumble, still there.
Yep.
You know, it's like, this dude's sweating like crazy, rubbing up against all these other dudes' bodies. How is that still there?
I know. He was just like, ah! Just a lot of raspberries. He was giving people raspberries, and his face was staying that way.
Shoving people with his thumb.
Yeah.
Gaddafi.
It's not good for your joints.
No, it's not.
Well, Jess, you got tape study this week?
Man, guys, I've been trying to think of a match for us to
watch.
We
skipped tape study last week.
Yeah, we did.
We gave you an extra week for
tape
study. Yeah, you've had a whole month, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. You know, there's been so many good wrestling matches lately. One of the guys from Voices of Wrestling is like, I got at least like 24-star-plus matches this month. That's a lot of really good matches, no matter what. So, I don't know. You guys have anything for me to watch?
How about this? How about instead of you supplying the tape study, how about if you're listening to this podcast and you got a match that you want us to submit for a tape study, send it to Jesse or send it to the Grapple Talk page, and then we'll look through it. Because we've done that before, and that was actually pretty fun.
Yeah,
you know,
we ask people for matches, and we get matches from people.
We get them?
Yeah, and that's
what we did.
Yeah, because and then you kind of get people's, you know, different opinion of, like, why they enjoyed a match. You know, what matches did they enjoy in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then some matches you just kind of forget about. And it's like, oh, yeah, that was a good match. You know, so.
Fuck it. Let's do that for the whole year.
Viewer's
choice. All year.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one less thing for us to do.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
You know, this is a viewer-driven podcast.
The only reason we're still doing this is because we get at least 5 listens a week.
5.
At least 5. Maybe 6, but that's like
one of them's me.
And we don't get kickback from sponsors, guys.
We don't.
We don't have sponsors.
Yeah, we don't have any sponsors. We don't have to worry about what we say or do or think or eat.
We don't have to plug Mack Weldon underwear or anything like that.
Mack Weldon underwear.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I was listening to Jericho's podcast earlier today, and he made a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, for, like, him and for Austin, when they do their reads on air, I enjoy them. They're fun.
Oh, yeah, because they're fun people.
Yeah.
It's not like,
oh, sorry, guys. I have to take a second.
It's not like ESPN Radio where it's like, all right, Mike, so let me tell you something. You ever had that tie that's too tight on your tie?
Right now, it's like, I'm not going to name names, but there's a lot of people who always forget about flowers during Valentine's Day. You're driving home, and you realize it's Valentine's Day, and it's already too late. All the good flowers are gone. Well, guess what? With 1-800-Flowers right now, you can make sure.
Is that the read?
You can get the flowers to your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your significant other or your side piece or whoever it is for Valentine's Day. Make sure you can actually get your flowers at 1-800-Flowers.
1-800-Flowers.com. Just enter my name. It's Turd Nuggets.
Turd Nuggets.
I always like that JR always ties in his plug with his interview. Like he'll make it seem like he's still in the conversation. He's like, hey, we'll talk more about Broken Matt Hardy. We'll talk with you more about your time in Nick Pack Wrestling. But Matt, let me ask you this. Do you like your underwear?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
That's what Jericho did with Owens. It's like he does it in a regulars podcast too, but then it's like he has a crowd of people like, woo, yeah, you guys rock. It's like, and all of a sudden it's just dead silent.
Well, Kevin, that was good talking to you. I can't wait to ask you about ROH and stuff. But anyways, let me tell you
about this product. It's like,
so it's Matt, what's the best part about your underwear, huh? Is it the odors, huh? And he's like, my underwear deletes them. Yeah, like that's how it went for the.
No, he's asking him a question, but obviously,
the question's the lead-in, but he doesn't get an answer.
But like, and that's
because obviously the interviewee is not presently there during the commercial read. They do it at a date.
He tries to make it sound
it is awkward, but
he tries to make it seem like he's still talking to him, but it's like obviously he's going on this like 2-minute rant about underwear that you can buy online.
Yeah,
and
that would be like imagine if the alternative
is just Matt Broken Matt just sitting there like on the phone quietly like
underwear.
Yeah, it would be very rude if let's say Nick was on a date with Sari. And then he had to do, like, a promo plug in the middle of the date. He's like, Zari, let me tell you something. Mack Weldon underwear is the best underwear you can possibly get.
It
really helps with my girth and how my boys breathe.
I don't like that you're looking right in my eyes when you're
that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing with Zari. She's just like, Nick, we're having spaghetti.
How was the food, guys? Did you enjoy everything? You know, I really did. But you know what I really enjoy?
Saving 15% or more on car
insurance by switching to Geico.
Let me tell you something. I go to this one site, and I just get for $50 a month, I can just get whatever kind of style of clothing I want. Okay, cool.
It'd be even ruder. You're at the restaurant, and then you start plugging, like, Blue Apron.
Yeah, that'd be awful.
I mean, for $50 a month, this is what I'm paying over here at the restaurant, but $50 a month, I can make the same thing at home.
You're a total dick if you do that.
Yeah.
Like, get out.
Waiter's like, fuck you, man.
$100. Fuck you, man. I don't want your tip.
Yeah.
He gives you a whack?
He just hits you in the back of the head.
That's like jail. He could be in jail.
Pretty sure
that.
I don't think he. Pretty sure you can talk to the manager about that and then instead of having to pay $50 for a dinner, you'd be able to get it for free.
No, I'm pretty sure you actually would probably plug a lawyer the second you walk up to the manager. Be like, you know what happened with your waiters? Let me tell you something about this good lawyer guy. You know,
yeah,
like,
and there you go.
And then he's like, what the fuck?
I'm just like, what is going on?
And that's what happened if you your entire life was about plugging. You'd probably be rich. You'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to spend too much money because you'd have people pay you to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be that bad, but
that's
just like I have my friends. And I don't know.
But that's a problem we don't have because we don't have sponsors.
Hey,
we just
talk.
Make references to sometimes other, you know, certain brands that we probably shouldn't because I don't know if we can get sued for that. I don't know what the copyright law is.
I don't know.
Like, you know, we say like McDonald's, like, oh no, am I going to get sued now because I said that?
Oh yeah, we can't say Packers. We might get sued for saying Packers.
Why'd you say that then? You literally intentionally said that. Like, you put your hand over your mouth knowing that you have a microphone in front of it as well.
I know. Just secrecy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why it's nice that we only have 5 listens a week, because it's most likely not anybody that matters. So
it's you, and who's the other 4?
Probably my mom, my dog.
Brady?
Yeah.
So he's like, when he's going out for his walk, he pops in his earbuds?
Usually when I leave him at the house alone, I'll put Gravel Talk on.
So
it puts him to sleep because it's very boring.
Let's just go back to this because he just said that his mom and his dog don't matter.
They don't.
Wow.
They don't matter.
Wow. And it was your birthday weekend. That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Your birthday weekend and your team's playing in the Super Bowl.
They are.
Yeah.
The Falcons, right? Wow. Oh,
he's
no.
your best friend. He doesn't know who you are.
This is a joke.
He's not my best friend. He's my. I'm his manager.
Oh.
It's in a relationship.
Mm. Well, if you're his manager, he should have been paying his student loans then.
Yeah, I screwed that one up, didn't I?
You really did.
Yeah. Yeah. But should be a good weekend, guys. Super Bowl's coming up.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to be back next week, or what do you guys want to do?
I don't know. Will we?
Probably depends.
Tune in and find
about.
Out. Cliffhanger.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah. There's probably going to be week. More stuff to talk about next week, too. You know, I'm sure. New Japan has their two New Beginning shows coming up this weekend, so we'll have that to talk about.
You got any shows that you're doing this weekend, Jesse?
Yeah. Yeah, we both said we were going to be places this weekend. So ACW yeah. on Friday
define
night.
Define those places.
Yeah, I'm going to be in ACW in Oshkosh Friday night.
You're going to be at AWF on Saturday?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just doing one show this week.
All right, cool. That's nice.
Where are you going to be?
We'll be at River City Championship Wrestling in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And then the next day we'll be in Waseca, Minnesota. And I'm probably pronouncing Waseca wrong, but I don't really care.
I think that's how you pronounce
I'm
it.
Pretty I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce
well,
it.
Well, I said Waseca, and then April, who's like 20 minutes from there, said that I'm always pronouncing it wrong. But it's like, I don't care because...
Well, how does she pronounce it?
I don't know.
Like, Waseca? Waseca?
I don't know.
Mike Wazowski?
Mike Wazowski. Mike Wazowski, Minnesota. No, Waseca, Minnesota, Revolution Wrestling Alliance on Saturday. So got a good double shot coming up. Got our friends at
both championships in both matches.
Both championship wow. matches in those matches, and then also WPW has a show on Saturday as well that a lot of our good pals will be over at as well.
We're friends with everybody.
We're friends with everybody, literally everybody, but we only get five listens.
If you want to be our
good
friend,
friends,
if you want to be our friend, just let us know at the Grapple Talk. Both on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be your friend.
We'll be your friend.
Except Ryan Brown. Screw that guy. He's an ultimate villain. Friendships can't be mended, sir.
How's he a villain?
Have you never met him?
He's Ryan met Brown.
Have you never seen him? Have you never been to his apartment?
Yeah.
He lives like a villain. We're not going to get too far into
think,
that.
I don't think villains are that cluttered.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think he walk into like Dr. Doom's castle? And it's
yes.
just like fucking shit everywhere?
Yeah, he leaves like his doomsday plans out for the world to see.
Like it's broken down doom bots.
He's like, yeah.
Sorry about this, cook.
Yeah.
It's not about being unorganized. It's about booby traps.
It is.
Because if you can't.
Those traps with boobies?
Yes.
No.
Because if you're trying to navigate, you can't because you're stuck because he just leaves his shit all over. And then by the time that you can actually navigate, he'd be like, you're dead.
Done. But he has taken a liking to you, Jesse. So anytime you're around, he won't kill anybody else.
Yeah.
It's a good comic book.
It's a terrible comic
book. You
should
write it.
I'm not going to write it.
Okay.
It's like, hey, this is my best friend. He's a supervillain. But if I'm around, he's like the coolest guy ever.
That actually does sound like a cartoon show.
It does sound a little
like my friend the supervillain.
I think there's probably like a kid's book like Dracula and Me. It's like that. Oh, Dracula sucks blood. But when he's around me, he doesn't suck. You know, like.
And then it turns out that the kid's also a vampire. Big twist. That's why he doesn't suck his blood, because he's a fucking vampire. You can't suck another vampire's blood.
Or maybe he's a werewolf or something like that.
Well, yeah,
werewolves
they,
have blood,
they have, they're rivals.
Yeah,
though.
But it's like dog blood.
It's still blood.
Still blood.
You're blood.
Thanks.
You're a crypt.
Bad
you guys shouldn't
blood.
Like each other.
Oh. You are wearing blue.
You're wearing gray. You look like Rocky again.
Thanks.
Prepare for your next fight.
You're wearing red, white, and blue because you have a G.I. Joe sweatshirt on.
G.I. Juice.
G.I. Joe.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. But no.
All right, we should probably wrap this one up. It's probably going kind of long. So thanks for tuning in this week, and we'll catch you some other time. Stay classy, folks.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Sick beat. I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know. Something
what was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores
gosh.
For good reason.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.